Rav Bosai, let's set the goals for today. And if you know my style, I never exactly achieve my goals, but at least I set my goals. So we want to go through two simonim in Gvuras Yitzhak. One is Simon Chaf Aleph, and the other is Simon Chaf Beis. Now, those who were with me yesterday know that we made an attempt yesterday at reading through Simon Chaf Aleph. Right. We were partially successful, but not totally. What my goal is to take Simon Chaf Aleph and just give you what I consider an outline of the highlights of this Simon, and whatever we get out of it, we get out of it. There's some very important points here, but I'm not sure that there's certain little points, what I consider minor points, that are unclear, but they tend to, you know, unsettle you, you know, sometimes because you get bogged down with them. So let's make a list of the following points as an outline of Simon Chaf Aleph. Point number one is that the Gemara records a machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi as to whether or not Megillas Esther requires a minyan, asara. According to Rav Asi, Megillah requires asara. The Rif understands that according to Rav Asi, if a person reads a Megillah with less than asara, he's not yotze the mitzvah Megillah. It's likuva. Then we have the sheet of Rav, and Rav makes the following distinction. Megillah bizmana does not require asara, meaning afilu biyachid, but Megillah shalom bizmana requires asara. And the classical case of Megillah shalom bizmana would be the Bnei HaKfarim, who read it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. The poskim quote this statement of Rav that Megillah shalom bizmana requires asara lahalacha, but not in the case of the Kfarim, but in other cases. Just to mention two cases for our own erudition, it's not relevant to this presentation. But number one would be if the 15th of Adar fell on Shabbos, so the Bnei HaKrachim in that case would read Megillah on the 14th. That's on Friday, and in such a case, you would require a minyan. And here's where Rav says that Megillah B'Kodem Zmana is Basar. Second case would be what's called Hayotze B'Shayora, the person who leaves his house and he doesn't have Megillah to take along with him. He will not have access to a Megillah on Purim. That's a case of Shalom B'Zmana. They allowed him to read as early as Rosh Chodesh Adar, but he requires a minyan. That case itself is very fascinating, because when he gathers together another nine people, if they're not on the voyage with him, they're doing him a favor by allowing him to read the Megillah in front of them. For them, they don't have a mitzvah Megillah. Anyway, so that's the now the Shulchan Aruch.
Than the other nine who don't have a
chiyuv,
just he does.
Just he has a chiyuv, right? Because he's a yotze b'shayara. No one else is on the is part of his team on this voyage. In any event, the Shulchan Aruch codifies the halacha in Siman, at the end of a very long Siman, which is called Tafresh Sadi, which is one of the key Simanim in Hilchas Megillah. And he writes, adding a very interesting point, which hopefully we'll be able to trace down to the Ran, says the Shulchan Aruch that even in Megillah Bizmana, which means Yudalit and Tesvav, despite the fact that we paskin like Rav, and you could mekayim that mitzvah biyachid, and you and I know from almost Maisim B'chol Yom that we read the Megillah for Yechidim, but nevertheless the Mechaber Paskins Tzorech Lachzar Achar Asara, that L'chatchila he's required to look for Asara, which means that the embellishment of the mitzvah, we'll call it the mitzvah min ha-muvchar, if all things are ideal, would be to find Asara. So that's point number one, that we paskin like Rav. There is such an entity called Megillah B'Yachid, but that's only Megillah B'Zmana. And number two, L'chatchila, even Rav would require that you look for a minyan. And the reason for that is because the Gemara itself on Daf Hey records that Rav ran around even B'Zmana to look for a minyan. No, he was machmir for the sheet of Rav Asi. Now point number two. This perhaps is the most important point of the entire discussion here. You have two options. One option is that one person read the Megillah on behalf of everyone else, And the other option, assuming, let's say, everyone has the capacity or everyone has a Megillah, each person should read the Megillah on his own. And this is going to be a machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav. It's quite well known, this machlokas, but here we see it inside. And again, this is just my way of presenting it. This is not the Gevurah Yitzchak, but I would say that in tefillah, if I can use that as a paradigm, we have two tefillahs. We have what we call the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, the tefillah Balachash, and we have the Chazoras Hashatz. Clearly, in the case of tefillah Balachash, everyone is reciting his own Shmoneh Esrei, and yet there is some sort of binding cement between all of them, and they all become part of one tzibur. And in effect, what sets up the tzibur is the fact that we're 10 people who are davening in the same place at the same time. In the case of Chazaras Hashatz, on the other hand, the Shliach Tzibur is the only one who's davening out loud, we're listening to his tefillah. And now, if we take the case of Megillah, what should be our paradigm for Megillah? Should we look at Tefillah Balachash and say that everyone should be reading the Megillah on their own? Or shall we look at the Chazaras Hashatz and assume that we want to generate a kriya of the entire tzibur, one single kriya? Now again, everybody agrees, I just want to point this out, again this is just a footnote, that if you miss certain words and you don't hear it from the Shliach Tzibur, you could fill that in on your own. But according to the Brisker Rav, that would go up to, let's say, half of the Megillah. But it's at some point, if you would read half or more of the Megillah on your own, from your own Megillah, you would be Yotzei as a Yachid, but you would not be Yotzei this embellishment, this mitzvah of Mufchar, of reading B'tzibur. The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, and we'll see his proof, he advocates that everyone should be reading the Megillah on their own. Now, I don't know where both sides, can anybody tell me if they're familiar with that minhag? Because my minhag is that you listen to the Shliach Tzibur. Okay, so we're not in Bnei Brak. So maybe in Bnei Brak we'll take a trip to Bnei Brak and to Yul, and we'll find out that they do it the way the Chazon Ish says. And I'll read.
They read it on their own while the Baal Kor is reading.
Right. And then you get into the whole issue of what's called Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoi, especially if you don't have a kosher Megillah in front of you. So imagine you're going to read the Megillah on your own. You don't even have a kosher Megillah. So let's assume the Chazon Ish is talking about a case where you have a kosher Megillah, and he wants to assume that let everyone read the Megillah on their own. I'm going to read to you the language of the Chazon Ish as it's quoted here. If anyone wants to see it inside, it's the middle of the first paragraph. And he says the following. Dilakiyum din asara. He says, lo be'inan she'echad yikra v'teisha yishmu, that 9 should listen to one kriya. El afilu kol echad korei li'atzmo b'megillah shalo, shapir mikri asara. So again, it's not that the Chazon Ish excludes our minhag. He has no problem with one person reading the Megillah and 9 people listening. But he at the same time validates another approach. And you could also achieve the Kiyum of Asara if each one, he says, Kol Echad Kori Liatzmo. Where does he have a case of Kol Echad Kori Liatzmo? So it's a very strange raya, which honestly I don't understand how it's totally convincing, but I'll just say it over the way I understand it. The Gemara tells us on Daf Yud Zayin that a sofer who's writing a Megillah, he copies from a Megillah Kshera, which let's say he has on his right side, I'm just mentioning that, and he writes it word for word, copying it over to the left side to create this Megillah. And not only that, he calls out, he reads out loud each word of the Megillah. So the Gemara wants to know, there is a Yotzei the mitzvah of Megillah? And the Gemara says it depends. If he had Kavana that when he read it that and he recited every word out loud that he wants to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Megillah, he could be Yotzei. So in effect he kills 2 birds with 1 stone. He gets to write his Megillah and at the same time to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Megillah. If lo kiven libo, lo Yotzei. And that has to do with a famous sugi called Misasek and so forth, so which we're not going to get into. So the Chazon Ish asks a very brilliant question. He says, I don't get it. He's reading the Megillah in a low voice, and he's doing it for the purpose of copying the Megillah. He also has in mind, the Gemara says, to be Yotze the Kriya itself. Now, according to the Shita of Rav Asi, Now I forgot to tell you that this whole thing is a Mishnah. That becomes critical, because the Chazon Ish wants to know, how is Rav Asi going to learn this Mishnah? Rav Asi says that you can only be Yotzei the Megillah Basara. Now, if you're going to tell me that Asara means that I have to hear the Megillah, and you and all of us have to hear the Megillah from one Koreh, which is the way the Chazon Ish understands it, in order to be Mekayim to achieve the Asara, it's got to be Echad Koreh the Teisha Shomim, then this man is reading it out loud. Now, you're going to have to assume there are another 9 people in the audience. Okay, that's a halbatar. You know, we can get away with that according to Rav Asi, because otherwise it's not Megillah Basar, and he's not Yotzei Bizmana, according to Rav Asi. But he says, this person is reading it for himself. How is he going to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Asara? The Gemara says that if he has Kavon Alotze, he sees Yotzei. But he's reading it for himself. Now, what bothers my mind here, and this, I can't answer this question. If anybody can answer this question, please help me out here, because I don't understand what the Chazon Ish, what his raya is, because maybe Enoch Inami is reading it for himself, but he also hears the Baal Koreh. What I'm saying is that normally we have a principle called Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoi. You know, he can't hear himself and hear someone else at the same time. But the exception to that rule is Megillas Esther, because the Gemara says with regard to Megillas Esther, there's such a chavivus that we enjoy living, so you can hear two voices and you can still fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, even if I go with the assumption of the Brisker Rav, that in order for me to be Yotzei my mitzvah basara, I need to hear one single kriya, which everyone is listening to, the fact that I'm reading the Megillah out loud doesn't necessarily preclude my ability to be Yotzei the mitzvah by listening to the one person. And even if 10 people would read the Megillah out loud, each one of these people could hear the one Baal Koreh that we're all listening to, if you follow me. Let's say we designate Reuven, and he's going to be the Baal Koreh on behalf of the entire Asara, the whole minyan. Each one of the other 9 people besides Reuven is reading the Megillah to himself, but it doesn't matter, because he can still, as he's reading the Megillah, he can hear Reuven's Kriya. So the Brisker Rav is not excluding that. But in any event, getting back to the Chazon Ish says that it's not necessary to discourage people from reading the Megillah on their own, out loud, and they could do so, and that itself is the key of Asara. So what from the Chazon Ish's perspective would be your paradigm of Asara in the 2 cases of Tefillah? Would it be the Tefillah Slachash or the Tefillah or the Chazor Sashatz? Am I pushing you too hard here? I thought that would be it. Again, according to Chazon Ish, each person is reading the Megillah for himself. He doesn't have to hear one single kriya. The silent Shmon Esrei. Excellent. Because in the silent Shmon Esrei, I'm just reciting it for myself. I'm listening to my own recitation. I'm not listening to yours. But the fact that we're doing it simultaneously in one place, that itself creates a tzibur. That creates an asara. And if we take that paradigm of tefillah b'lachash, and we, again, just for pedagogic purposes, I'm not equating them, but if we use that in the case of Megillah Basara, according to Chazon Ish, that's exactly what happens in Asara. It doesn't have to go that way, but it could go that way, in which case each person of 10 people are reading their own Megillah and on their own. Oh, now we get to a Rambam. This is point number 3. Any questions till now? Sam, you look a little perplexed here. You sure? I mean, don't be embarrassed here, because this is a very tough, this is the toughest piece I've learned in the Gemara Yitzchak so far. And I'm just trying to give you whatever I got out of it, because I think there are some very important points here.
In Halakhash, there's no Baal Koreh, so to speak.
In what? Say it again?
Balachash,
right.
How is it parallel?
Yeah, I'm just using it for pedagogic purposes. What I mean to say is that we can create a tefillah b'tzibur by the very fact that, if, for example, in Ma'ariv, we don't have Chazor Sashat, so where's the key of tefillah b'tzibur in Ma'ariv? The fact that we're all davening at the same time, simultaneously, in the same place. Again, if somebody is upstairs, maybe he's not part of the tzibur. He doesn't have the kiyum of Asara. But if we're all sitting here in the same room, and we're all davening Shmon Esrei, then we have that kiyum. So I'm just using that as a paradigm for the case where 10 people are reading the Megillah, each one is reading it on his own. And the Chazon Ish, that's fine. That's Asara. That means that that would be a key of number one of Rav Asi's basic critical requirement in Megillah. Number two would be a key of Rav Shita, that in Megillah Shalom Vizmana, that's called Asara. And number three, in the cases that we gave of let's say Yotzei B'Shayara, or let's say the case of a Ben Krach who's reading the Megillah on Yudalid, you know, in all those cases I could. Oh, and let me go beyond that. The Mechaber codifies the halacha that even on Yudalid and Tesvav, you have to be chozer achar asara. You have to try to find asara. So you need l'chatchila if all things. Again, there's always the fallback position of reading the Megillah b'yachid. But if all things are ideal, you're going to read a pitzibur with asara. And now we're saying, according to Chazon Ish, in order to achieve that goal, I don't need to have one person appointed to read on behalf of the rest. We're all reading it simultaneously in the same room, and we achieve asara. Now we have a Rambam. The Rambam says the following: Karu ashnayim, o afilu asara ke'echad. There are two people reading the Megillah, or even for that matter, 10 people reading the Megillah, ke'echad, meaning at the same time, yatsu, everybody fulfills their obligation. Now, let me stop mid-air, if you don't mind. I mean, I'm in the middle of the Rambam, but let's just analyze where we're going with this Rambam. 10 people are reading the Megillah, correct? So, there are 10 voices here. Now, besides the Korim, there are also Shomim. The word shomim in the Rambam's context means those who are not reading. They want to fulfill their obligation by listening. But there are 10 people reading the Megillah simultaneously. Or for that matter, if there are 3 people in the room and 2 are reading the Megillah simultaneously, and the third Joe, he has to hear the Megillah. We have a principle called what? Trei koli lo mishtamai. You follow what I'm saying? So the Rambam's going to tell me that the shomim, who are not reading the Megillah, are yotzei their mitzvah, because this is the exception to the rule of trei koli lo mishtamai, which is a sugya in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says mishum chavivusa, you're able to discern one voice from another. But then the Rambam adds something else. He says yatsu hakorim vehashomim minakorim. So the Brisker Rav asks a fine question. Bishlam, I understand very well why the Rambam wants to tell me that the Shomim are Yotze, because they need to hear the Megillah, and how could they hear it when there's so many simultaneous kriyos? That's a principle, violates the principle of Trei Kol Mishtamai. So the Rambam wants to tell you Chiddush that we suspend the normal principle of Trei Kol Mishtamai with regard to Megillah. That's justified. But why does the Rambam have to add that the Korim are Yotzim Yedei Chovaso? How are the Korim? Well, why would I think otherwise? Each one who read the Megillah has fulfilled his mitzvah. Does everybody have the question? I mean, if you don't have the question, you won't appreciate the answer. Let's go over the question one more time. Do you mind? All right, sometimes I need a chazor. The Rambam is telling me that in this scenario where many people are reading the Megillah simultaneously, not only are the Shomim, who are not readers, they're just listeners, are able to fulfill their mitzvah, and they're going to focus in, hone in on one of those kriyos, that's called Trei Koli Mishtamai in this case, but the Rambam tells me another chiddush, that the Korim have fulfilled Korim with an Aleph, not Korim with a Chof and an Ayin, right? And they also fulfill their mitzvah. Now, I don't get it. Each person is reading the Megillah. What would be the Havamina to say that he's not Yotzei the Megillah?
They can't even hear themselves.
What?
They can't even hear themselves.
Oh, so that's the way I would have said it. Exactly the way Sammy says it. So the Brisker Rav is not happy with that. I don't know why. I can't tell you why I would have been happy with that. Right? So the Brisker Rav apparently assumes that at least I can hear my own Kriya. No, that's not an issue. Or maybe the Brisker Rav holds that if you're reading the Megillah, you don't actually hear it. So I don't know what would be the din if I'm reading the Megillah and I have earplugs and I don't hear it. A deaf person might come under this category. Let's say if we assume a Cheresh who's potter from Megillah is only someone who's a deaf mute, right? That's called an Elam Cheresh. But let's talk about a classical Cheresh, right? He's not a Lav Bardas, he's certainly a Bardas, but he doesn't hear the Megillah reading. So Lechora, he's Yotzei the Mitzvah through Kriya. Am I right? I mean, again, I'm telling you the following. That a person who's deaf is obligated in the Mitzvah Megillah. Can he hear the Megillah? He can't hear the Megillah. So I'm telling you he's obligated. If I tell you he's obligated, then I must mean to say that what? That he can fulfill the mitzvah Megillah. So how is he going to fulfill the mitzvah Megillah if not with Kriya? So it means that Kriya itself is a key of Megillah. And the Gemara actually elsewhere says that Megillah is Kriya u'persume nisa. So he's being mefarsim the nes to himself, or if he's reading it on behalf of someone else, he's being mefarsim the nes for them as well. Okay, so let's get back to our question here. So why does the Rambam feel compelled to tell me that the Korim yatsu yedei chovasam? Oh, so he says the Brisker Rav. The question is whether the Korim could also hear the one Kore, so that all 10 of them, like let's say we'll take a scenario with the 10 Korim, and all 10 Korim have to hear the Megillah reading from one Kriya. Why? Because the Brisker Rav, and this is his agenda, holds that in order to create a tzibur, you need all of us to listen to one Kriya. What now becomes the paradigm for tzibur, according to the Brisker Rav in my two cases, is the Chazar Sashatz. It's just like a Chazar Sashatz. Let's say, for example, some joker, I don't want to use a pejorative term, but he, while the Shatz is repeating Shmoneh Esrei, he decides, I'm going to recite my own Shmoneh Esrei. That's not the tzibur. The tzibur has to link into that one kriya. Let's say we elevate and designate one person who's in charge of reading it for all of us. So we're all listening to that one. So the Rambam wants to know, wait a second. If you're reading it, you might be listening to your own kriya, but are you able to hear the korei, who is the designated shliach tzibur, such that you, together with the other 9 people, are linked up and listening to his kriya? Well, how can you do that? There are 9 people reading it. You're one of them. The answer is that we suspend the principle of trei kol ulo mishtamai. So it means, again, as I said before, Sammy, that I could be reading the Megillah and at the same time listening to someone else's Megillah. And that's the chiddush of the Rambam. That if you would have applied the normal principle of trei kol ulo mishtamai, it's impossible for you to read the Megillah at the same time listen to the Megillah of somebody else. I have trouble even understanding how you can listen to your own Megillah. There's so much going on over here. But the Chiddush is, no, that Chavivus means that I can listen to that one Kori. So not only does Ram want to tell you that the Shomim who are listening are Yotzei the Mitzvah, but even the Kori himself, he can listen to that one Kriya that represents the entire group. Because there's no Trei Kol Ulo Mishtamai. Okay, so this is point, what are we up to? Point number 2? That was point number 2?
It was 3.
4.
That was number 3?
We're up to 4,
whatever the number is, but I'd like you to keep a scorecard, because these are the highlights of this article. Okay. Now he gets to a prima god. That's number 4. The prima godim says that the best idea, what word am I looking for? The best implementation, if all things are equal, is to have one person read for everybody else. Now, when you hear that, who does that sound like? One person reading for everybody else. The Brisker Rav, no? Are you with me on this? Right? But it's really not the Brisker Rav. For 2 reasons it's not the Brisker Rav. Reason number 1 is because he uses the word tov. Tov means that, you know what, you don't have to do it this way. You can achieve your goal, the goal of which is Kriya Samegillah Basara, even without listening to one Kore, and let everybody read their own Megillah. Which means that we're going with Hushita, the Chazon Ish, that the Prima Godim holds like the Chazon Ish. So tov. But if you have 2 choices, either each person reads his own Megillah, or one person reads on behalf of everyone and everyone listens, you should take the latter choice. But then here's the second point. Mishum, the Prima Godim now justifies, why is it that I want everyone to listen to one Kriya? If all things are equal, the ideal way would be that one reads on behalf of everyone. Says the Prima Godim, Berov Am. Now, if the Brisker Rav would have written the text, he wouldn't have mentioned Barovam. What word would he have mentioned? Basara. Because according to the Brisker Rav, you can only achieve Basara, which was saying at least l'chatchila you have to achieve, if there's one person reading on behalf of everyone else. So why does the Magen Avraham feel compelled to introduce a whole new terminology here called Berov Am? So the Gvuras Yitzchak wants to derive the following conclusion. There are three categories. There's one category called Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yachid. There's a second category, Kriyas HaMegillah B'Asara. And then there's a third category called Kriyas HaMegillah B'Rov Am. And the difference is going to be the following. If you want to achieve Kriyas HaMegillah B'Asara, it's fine and dandy for everyone to read the Megillah on their own, Kol Echad Kori Liatzmo, as long as they're all reading in the same place and at the same time. But if you want to jack it up and achieve the third category, called the cherry on top, which is called Berov Am, then you want one person to read it for everyone. Now, I want to add a footnote here, Berzon's footnote. My footnote is a sugya in Masechet Brachos. I think it's in the Gimel, don't quote me on that, about Havdolah. And the Gemara quotes Machlokas Chim Beisil Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says everybody should make their own Avdolah, and Beisil says no, we should have one person reciting Avdolah for everyone. And the Gemara asks, my time of the Beisil, and the Gemara answers Rov Amajus Melech. So we see very clearly from this Gemara, and that's Halach L'maisa, that if you want to achieve Rov Amajus Melech, you have to have one Kriya, or in the case of Avdolah, I don't know if you want to call it a Kriya, call it one Bracha, and everybody links into that Bracha. I would even go beyond that, Rabosai. I don't even think you need Asara. Meaning the Halacha Berov Am would apply if me and you are in a room together. I'm reciting Avdolah, let's say in that case, or I'm reciting the Megillah in that case. And you want to recite the Megillah, you want to make your own Avdolah. The Halacha of Basil would say that if you want to achieve Berov Am Hajus Melech, you would have one of the two, we'll fight it out, reading the Megillah, and the other one listening. We'll have one person, they will make a deal, you do the Avdolah, I'll do the Megillah, and that person reads the Avdolah. In other words, Berov Am Hajus Melech is an entity unto itself. And now we have two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is Berov Am doesn't require Asara. Nafkamina number two, Berov Am requires one kriya on behalf of everyone, or one bracha on behalf of everyone. If that be the case, we understand the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is telling us that, you know what, you want to achieve Kriyas HaMegillah Basara. And I have no problem. You want everybody to read their own Megillah. You know, we got 10 people, they're all experts in reading the Megillah. Each one has a Megillah on their own. Let them each read on them. Go. I don't have any qualms with that, says the Prima Gadim. But Tov Yoser, if I can give you the ideal way of doing it, is let one person read the Megillah and everyone listen. But not because of Asara. As far as the Din of Tzibur is concerned, I don't have any, there's no requirement whatsoever. You know, he holds like the Chazon Ish, that each one could read the Megillah on his own. And that's called an Asara. What makes it into Asara if each person's reading the Megillah on his own? Not because he's listening to one Kore, but simply because the fact that simultaneously in one place they're all reading the Megillah, that achieves Basara. But what you're lacking in, says the Prima Gadim, that's his Chiddush, is the Kiyum of Berov Am Hajus Melech. For that, I need one person reading the Megillah for everyone. And therefore, Tov Yoser, if you have everything is ideal, that one person should read the Megillah for all of them. That's what I think we have over here. So if you take a look, again, for anyone who wants to see it inside, on the top of page Reish Samach Zayin, three lines down from the top, on the right column, he says that Svir Leila Prima Gadim Ka Chazon Ish, the Prima Gadim holds like the Chazon Ish, that Le'inyan Asara B'Megillah Lo Be'inan She'echad Yikra V'Ashar Yishmu. We don't need the way the Brisker Rav would say it, that they're all listening to one Kriya. Let each person read the Megillah on his own. Afilu Kulam Karim B'Fnei Atzmon Mikri Megillah B'Asara Aval Ledin Barov Am Hajus Melech. We require that one read and they all listen. That there will be one Kriya on behalf of the entire group. And how long is this group? He doesn't mention this, but I that's what I want to add based on the Gemara of Basil in Havdalah, that it doesn't matter how many people you have. You could have even a minimum of two people, and that's enough for Barov HaMajus Melech.
Chazonish ever talk about a Ravan?
Who?
Chazonish, does he ever mention a level of...
Not that I know of. Again, I only have the Chazonish here, but the truth is we do have a Chazonish on the shelves. If we want to, we can pull it out of the shelves and do it. He tells you exactly where it is. Hilchos Megillah Siman Kuf Nun Hey.
I used to be mentioned also with emergency on the shelves.
Correct. The same thing as Barov HaMajus Melech. Do I need a minion for one person to make the amotzi for everybody? I don't need a minion. Okay.
So if there's 10 people listening to Megillah, and two of them are reading, I should go to the one who's reading and say, you should don't read.
Yeah, read it.
You're taking away from...
Right, maybe read in a low voice, I would say. In other words, because...
taking away from my robe?
Yeah, because if you can't hear, let's say it's Reuven and Shimon both reading it, and everybody in the tzibur is linking up with Reuven. So he's standing at the bima, or maybe they're all sitting in his close proximity to him, whatever it might be, but he's the designate... Shliach Tzibur, the Kore for everyone, and now Shimon is also reading the Megillah. Wonderful. Let Shimon read the Megillah, but he doesn't have to disturb my ability to hear Reuven. Technically, we're going to say Trei Koli Mishtamai in the case, but still, you know, Trei Koli Mishtamai is a very interesting principle. If you know for sure that you couldn't hear the Kore, I wouldn't apply the principle of Trei Koli Mishtamai. Yeah, you got to be honest with yourself. Trei Koli Mishtamai in the case of Chavivus of Megillah is if you tell me I was able to hear every word from Reuven, you know, and I wasn't disturbed by all the background music. In fact, the poskim write that it's kedai for everyone to have to hold the Megillah because there's so much background noise, and it's interesting where they place it in Hilchos in that same siman. Tofresh Tzadi, it's the Ramah encourages that the children should come for Kriyas HaMegillah. The Ramah, it's interesting, is a very, what word should I use? He's a children friendly guy, at least in Megillah. I can't tell you elsewhere. But he's in favor of them making noise, you know, with Haman. He tells you that there was a minhag that the children used to make an image of Haman on a piece of wood. And when they got to Haman's name, they would bang on the image. And it made a big raucous. I can imagine that a place like Krakow, you know, the elder statesman would probably want to shut up the guys. And one of the poskim say, that this is after the Ramah, that it's a minhag shtus, and we should, you know, it disturbs people, and we should get rid of it. The Ramah writes that we should uphold all these minhagim. I wanted to say Vart, I wanted to say that maybe the Ramah holds that we don't have today the mitzvah Mechiyas HaMolek, so we need a Zechel of Mechiyas HaMolek. We can't do it, you know, physically, but let's have a Bimkom Ki'ilu, you know, so... But in any event, he's a big fan of the children. But the problem is, am I able to hear the Koryas HaMegillah? So again, when he gets to Haman, you know, we'll tell the Baal Kori to say Haman twice, you know, once before they make the ruckus, once after they quiet down. And when it gets to all those psukim, you know, that we recite together, so we'll ask him to say it again in case you didn't hear it. But in the case of noise going on, you know, maybe you want to read the Megillah out of your own Megillah, and a lot of the poskim say that that's what you should do. But now what we're saying is, at least, you know, according to the Prima Gadim, that's fine, except for Provam again, but according to Briskarov, that's not fine, because you want to listen to the Baal Kori, and that's how you get the Asor. That's the Briskarov.
The same point you made earlier, that even according to Biskarov, I can still read up to half the Megillah myself and still be able to be Yotzei the Tzibur. Does that apply, at least going to Prima Gadim, would that apply for the Rovam?
I assume. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to get into that, but my assumption would be yes. Now, the Ran is focused on the following, and this you'll see in the bottom right going on to the top left column here. The Ran wants to know, the Gemara says that Mevatlim Talmud Torah LeMikra Megillah. And the Gemara derives that from a Kal Vachomer from Avoda. Do you remember that we discussed this in the past?
Yeah.
So the question is, what does it mean Mevatlim Talmud Torah? This is the question that Tosfos already asks, but the Ran has his own formulation. What do you mean Mevatlim Talmud Torah? Mevatlim Avoda. We paskin like Rav, and Rav says that you can be yotze biyachid. And even if you'll tell me that l'chatchili you want a minion, you want a sara, okay, let's get a whole yeshiva of guys that are learning, and we continue learning, and at the end of the learning session, we'll read the Megillah together, and there are ten yeshiva bachrim, or in the case of Voda, there are 10 kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. So why all this raucous here about you have to terminate your avoda for the sake of Megillah? Says the Ran, and here I want to read it inside. He says the following. He says, "Afal pishi yesh bebeis hamedrash afilu mea." Like, because the Gemara gives the case of base Rebbe, so I guess the assumption was there are at least 100 students in Rebbe's yeshiva. He says, no, that nevertheless, again, I'm trying to just focus on one or two lines in the Ran, it's a long Ran. Afilu Rav Mode, the mitzvah min amuvcha, it's on the third line in the left column, likrose matzibur mishum pirsume nisa. That there's a concept called pirsum anes. And therefore, Rav would hold that, and here he's not denying Rav Asi. Again, it's not critical in the mitzvah, it's not indispensable, but in order to embellish the mitzvah with pirsum anes, we want to read it im hatzibur. And therefore, if the tzibur is getting together, now again, he doesn't tell you how many members there are in the tzibur. I'm going to assume the following, Rabosai. You can argue with me, and that's fine. You know, I don't have any proof for this. But I would assume that there are at least 101 people in the Beis HaKnesses. Why do I come up with the number 101? Not because I'm counting the beers on the wall, but because he says the following. Afal pi sheyesh beis medrash afilu mea kishel beis Rebbe. Nevertheless, klap avin tish, and we have to tell everybody in the Beis Medrash to go to the synagogue to hear the public reading of the Megillah. In other words, I'm not going to condone or recommend a private reading of the Megillah. Again, private reading of the Megillah, even though there are 100 students there. But relatively, it's a private reading because where's the public reading going on? In the Beis HaKnesses. You know, that's your central reading for the entire community. So I assume that according to the Ran, 100 students will have to close their gemaras, pack their bags, take the next bus or train or whatever it is to the central synagogue. Again, don't ask me about smaller minyanim because I don't know how to justify that. But, and then he writes, Mishum, why is it so critical that we're going to klap avitish, stop your learning, stop your avoda, because they're reading the Megillah in the Beis HaKnesses. You already have 100 people to read the Megillah. There are plenty of kohanim to get together at the end of the avoda. Mishum de Barov HaMajas Melech, says the Ran, this is the halacha Barov HaMajas Melech. So the Megillah works like this according to the Ran. As far as the Kiyum of Asara is concerned, there's no pressing need to stop your avodah or terminate your learning of Torah, because you can achieve asara. And how are you going to achieve asara? With your private reading, we'll call it. You know, in your living room, you're going to have your own reading of the Megillah, and you have plenty of people who are eager to join you in that Megillah reading. But you know why you're going to stop reading, stop learning, and stop your avodah? Because of the kingdom of Barov Am HaJusmel. So now we see another dimension of Barov Am HaJusmel. Until now, we've been speaking about Barov Am HaJusmel that's even less than a minion. We said that Rav Am HaJusmel, the Prima Gadim, says, even if I accept the Chazon Ish, he was before the Chazon Ish, but even if I accept that concept that each one could read the Megillah on his own, but nevertheless for the sake of Rav Am, we want to have one person reading it for everyone. Now we're adding that Rav Am HaJusmel is going to require that we pack our bags, we have our own built-in minion, and we join the minion that's the central minion of Barov Am, and that's called Barov Am. So you and I might think Barov Am means how many people are you getting together. No. Barov Am has nothing to do with how many people are you getting together. It's who's getting together. Is the community getting together as a community? In the Beis HaKnesses, that gives you Barov Am. And therefore, for the sake of Barov Am, we're going to terminate the Avoda, or postpone the Avoda, and postpone the Talmud Torah.
I would think you don't need 101 in the Beit Knesset. The Beit Knesset is the Tzibur.
Could be. I don't know. There. I looked around, I'll be honest with you, Dr. Joel, I couldn't find anyone who addressed this. It's such a fundamental question, you know, but I don't know. It could be Barov Am, meaning because they're a community and they're getting together as such and everybody has to gravitate to that, meaning we don't count numbers anymore. But I find it a little paradoxical that that becomes Barov Am simply because of what? Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, or because of the fact that the whole city owns the Beis HaKnesses. You know, the Rogatchev is very famous. He says that there are two types of kinyonim. There's a kinyon yachid and a kinyon tzibur. And his paradigm of a kinyon tzibur is a Beis HaKnesses, that everybody owns the Beis HaKnesses. He gives another example of Sefer Torah, that the entire city owns the Sefer Torah. Anyway, that's on the side. Sammy, did you say something?
So it's not a quantitative issue, bro. It's a shame of
the. Well, again, I don't know. That's the machlokas here, achronim, between the Chazon Joel and then the Brisker Berzon. You know, saying, well, whoever it is, I'm just giving names. In other words, I'm not sure. I don't. Dr. Joel is saying that quality. I'm sorry, that quantity is irrelevant. I'm not sure. I have my intuitive doubts about it, but I have no proof. I think that quantity also plays a role. But at the end of the day, there's a qualitative distinction here. That's the key of keys. You know, we could have a little bit of a spat about the nitty gritty details and the nuances. But one thing we both agree on fundamentally is that we're going to stop our learning for the sake of this new quality, this new kiyum, as a category of its own called Barov Am Ajus Melech. As we state in the Ran. That's what the Ran says.
And the 101 aren't the Barov Am.
So I'm assuming that in the Beit Knesset there's more than 100 people, or as Dr. Joel says, the fact that this is a public reading, that gives them the status of a Barov Am. What I do in my living room, even if I invite the, you know, that whole neighborhood, that doesn't make it into a Barov Am.
That's so, a Nafkamina.
Yeah, it's a very big
Nafkamina. You have 20 in the Beit Knesset and 101 in the Beit Knesset.
Right, exactly.
Who stops for whom?
Right, I don't know. I assume that in order to get Barov Am, it's not enough just to say, well, we're the guys, you know, we're there and we're publicizing it and we're blasting it out. We have a bulletin board outside of our synagogue and it says, you know, on Bathurst Street, you know, it says, everybody come to our public reading in the Megillah. I don't think that's enough. I think in this case, you have to consider the numbers, but I don't know. Let's not get sidetracked. It's a very important point, but I just have no way of evaluating it. So he says the following. He says that Yesh Lachkar. Now we have to understand. What is Barov Am Hajus Melech in the context of Megillah? Is it A or is it B? Is it just simply a universal halacha, a principle that applies everywhere? Whenever we have a mitzvah that we could do, Barov Am. And how much more so a bracha? Barov Am, like for example, we spoke about Havdalah before, then that's a mitzvah Barov Am. And it applies to Megillah no less than it would apply to any mitzvah. Or name. Maybe we could say that Barov Am has a specific role and a category of its own with regard to Megillah. That it's a component in the mitzvah of Megillah. And the reason why we would say the latter is because if you read the Ran carefully, the Ran opens up by saying that it's mitzvah min amuvchar kidei l'kayim pirsum anes. The Gvuras Yitzchak hears the words pirsum anes, and automatically, without even breathing, what does he hear? A din misuyah. This is not a universal rule. The concept of pirsum anes is singular to Kriyas HaMegillah. And we might have it in Ner Chanukah as well, but leave out Ner Chanukah. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, any other mitzvah that I could do as a group, where one person represents the group, that's called Barov Am. And there's no reason why that shouldn't apply to Megillah as well. But what he's saying is that when the Ran speaks about, you know, giving a klap off in Tish and telling all these yeshiva guys to transfer over to the Barov Am shul, he adds the words Pirsume Nisa. Why do you have to add Pirsume Nisa? Says the Gvuras Yitzchak that this kind of kiyum, if it's universal, would not justify Bittul Talmud Torah or Bittul Avodah. The reason why, according to the Ran, we're going to be mevatel, whether it's Talmud Torah Avoda, for the sake of Barov Am, is because of Pirsum Anes, meaning that the Barov Am is an enhancement of the mitzvah of Pirsum Anes. It's not just an enhancement of doing any mitzvah. We want to perform any mitzvah of Barov Am. That's true. Nobody denies that. But it has a specific, unique application, Shani Malbishoto, onto the mitzvah of Megillah. Why? Because the mitzvah of Megillah has a kiyum of Pirsum Anes. And the more people that gather together for one act of Pirsum, the more we enhance the mitzvah. And that's what he says here on page Reish Samaches. If you take a look at a paragraph that starts Vehine, that's the first of the two, there are two Vehines. He says about, let's say, line 10, he says, Tov Yosef sheyikra echad v'ashar yishma'u, one person should read it, everyone else listen. Mitam barov avajus melech de kol haTorah kula. Is it because of kol haTorah kula, meaning a universal requirement or kiyum, shall we say, of barov avajus melech? And he goes on to say that if we're dealing with Pirsum Anes, then it takes on a whole new meaning. And that's what the Ran says, that when he tells us that we have to close our Gemaras and get over to the Beis HaKnesses, because that's where it's urgent, because that's when they're reading the Megillah, he says that's a kiyum of Pirsum Anes. That's a unique expression or application of Barov Am HaJus Melech. In other words, he's setting up a Tzvei Dinim. There's a Din Klali of Barov Am HaJus Melech, applies to every mitzvah, no less to Megillah, and then there's a Din Mesuyam, a unique application of Barov Am HaJus Melech. And he's not sure that you would be Mavatal Talmud Torah and Avoda for the sake of the general mitzvah of or kiyum of Barov Am HaJus Melech. Maybe what we're saying is that for this unique Din Misuyam, we're talking about you know, shutting down, as we said, the Talmud Torah for the sake of this unique Barov Am HaJus Melech Sheyesh Bo Pirsum Anes. Now, what I'm about to do now is just for myself. I want to go back one more time and read the paragraph on the top of Pesh Reish Samach Zayin. And he says the following: Svir leila prima godim kachazorish deledin asora b'megillah lo b'ina sheechad yikra v'ashar yishmu el afilu kulam korim b'fnei atzmam mikri megillah basora avoledin berov amajus melech b'inan echad kore v'ashar shomim. In the prima godim, he uses the word tov. Do you remember that? And Tov Yoser, it's an ideal way that one person should read the Megillah for everyone. He doesn't mention Pirsum Anes. All he mentions is Barov Am HaJus Melech. I'm going to suggest the following, that the Chazon Ish, according to the logic of the Prima Godim, again, the Prima Godim historically is before the Chazon Ish, but I'm just saying, if the Chazon Ish were to be influenced by the reasoning, the logic of the Prima Godim, I think the Chazon Ish would say the following, that as far as the Kiyum of Asar is concerned, which Rav Asi holds as critical, and Rav says that you have to try and try hard enough to do it, he says that would be fine for Kol Echad Korei Levado. But maybe the Chazon Ish would go one step further and say, well, if you want to achieve the Kiyum of Barov Am HaJus Melech, then Echad Korei Lekula. The Chazon Ish would not deny that one person should read the Megillah for everyone, not because of the achievement of Tzibur. The achievement of Asar doesn't require that one person read the Megillah, but in order to achieve Barov Am HaJus Melech. And that would mean that the Chazon Ish could certainly accept the Tov of the Prima Godim. That's one thing I wanted to do. Now, the other thing I wanted to do is this paragraph Vehine that we started, and I get a little bit confused here. Maybe you could help me with this. Because I think we have all the basic you know, blocks, the building blocks of the of this essay, we should be able to understand this paragraph of Hine. But here's where I get confused. He says the following: A primakadim sviru lekachasanish, that we saw already. Diladin kriya basara. We're halfway through this paragraph of Hine, the first Hine. Mishum persume nisa. Sagi ba'asara korim. I'm going to add two words. Kol echad bifnei atzmo. Ul shitaso sover degam hach mitzvah min amuvchar likro imatzibur mishum persume nisa lo beinon she'echad yikre lekulon.
Then how does it look different than tzibur?
What do you say?
And what makes it different than the tzibur? How would you detect that you're being kind
Barovam
versus being kind Tzibur? In both cases, the Yochid is reading himself.
No, he's saying the following: that as far as Pirsum Hanes is concerned, and that's why we want Kriya Basara Sagi Be'et Kolechad Kar Levado, correct? But now, if you want to jack that up to, or add, shall we say, the dimension of Barov Am, now you need Echad Kari Lakul.
No, that's not right.
Where are you? Just said.
Oh, yeah.
One second. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I'm reading it.
She tosses some of the Gamba.
That the Dinasarim should pinch Sumi Nisa, everyone reads by them.
Right.
And then also for the mitzvah of Mishmanisa, Loba in Shechad Yikra.
Right. So in other words, the Barov Am is not a specific Barov Am, like we said in the Ran. In other words, what he's doing now is he's setting up the Ran's approach as opposed to the Prima Gadim's approach. Let's start with the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim would hold the following. As far as the unique, I shouldn't say unique, but as far as the push to achieve a dimension of asara, that is an enhancement of the mitzvah Megillah because it adds pirsum hanes. That could be achieved even if each one of us reads separately because the Prima Gadim accepts the shita of the Chazon Ish. However, in what context does the Prima Gadim add the embellishment of Barov Am, and therefore Echad Yikras Lekulam, that's the Tov, that's the ideal way of doing it. That's in terms of Barov Am as a universal concept. Because again, as far as the specific concept is concerned, we already have Pirsumei Nisa when everyone reads by himself. So why are you telling me, be quiet and listen to the Baal Koreh? So you can tell me Barov Am. If you're talking about a Barov Am that's engendered by Pirsum Hanes, meaning it's a Bezunder Halacha, it's a separate Halacha in Megillah, I've already achieved that, even though each person is reading the Megillah on his own. The answer is that I think the Prima Gadim is operating with a universal mitzvah, or kiyum if you call it, of Barov Am Hajus Melech. Has nothing to do with Megillah. And that's why he's advocating that one person read it on behalf of everyone else. So in that case, I mean, the Chazon Ish is very, very close to the Prima Gadim. The Chazon Ish might even go a step further and agree that if all things are equal, let one person read the Megillah for others. Even though Pirsum Hanes you've accomplished when each one of them reads the Megillah on his own. But here's where I get totally lost. He says, Ulam Lidas Moran Hagriz, according to Brisker Rav, Diladin Kriyas Megillah Basara Mitam Persume Nisa Beinan Dafka She'echad Yikra Lekulam. So in order to generate a Kriyas HaMegillah B'Tzibur and achieve the additional dimension of Persum HaNes, we need that one person read the Megillah for everyone. Tzarech Im. No, it's Yesh Lachkar. That's basically Tzarech Im. And here it gives two possibilities. And here's where I get lost. This is where I got stuck yesterday, and I tried last night, I couldn't break it through. Maybe you'll help me with this. He says the following: Im gam lekium din persume nisa likros im hatzibur beinon she'echad yikra v'kulam yishmu. I don't understand what this gam lekium din persume nes. I mean, as opposed to what? I mean, what's the other alternative? Is just the Kiyum Tzibur without Pirsum Hanes? I don't know what he means. Oh, the other side in the Chakir is the Af Dilinyan Kriyas Hamagila Ba'asara Be'inon She'echad Yikro Lekulam. Maybe he means without Pirsimanis. I don't know what he means. The Oz Choshev Kriyas Sibur. Umikomakom Ba'din Kriya Barov Am Mishum Pirsumi Nisa Sagi She'kol Echad Yikro Bifnei Atzmo. I can't get it. I don't know. It irks me, you know, when I see something as obscure, you know. And again, I'm telling you, Rabosai, I'm not a paid employee of Rabbi Sirotskin's yeshiva. I have no negius whatsoever, but he's been doing a spectacular job. You know, I've done already. I don't know if I'd be exaggerating if I said 100 pages, but here. I'm going to try it just one more time and then we go on, because the next mimer is beautiful. So he says the fine. Maybe we could achieve Pirsumanes. Oh, the Ledin Kriyas Hamigil Basora. Peinon Echad Shikul Kulon. Yikomakom Bahadin Kriya. Berov Am Shum Persumi Sagi Shekol Echad Yikra Bifnei Atzmo. So as far as the Kiyum of what? Of Kriya B'tzibur, we need Echad Kore Lekula. But as far as Rov Am, it's enough. It doesn't matter. It's each one. Again, it's against the Gemara in Havdalah. But anyway, let's leave that out. So each one reads it on his own. It means that if the only thing he has to achieve is simply Rov Am Ajus Melech. So that he can achieve which everyone reading together, and the Brisker Rav is only as far as the Kiyum Tzibur is concerned. So what's the other side? Or Gam Lekiyum Din Pirsum and Eslikos and Tzibur Be'inon She'echad Yikre V'kulam. In order to achieve the Kiyum of Tzibur, one has to read, or no, maybe what? He's not going to... He can't back down on the fact that according to Brisker Rav, in Tzibur, to achieve Tzibur, you need one person reading it. So what is he adding here? That maybe as far as Barov Am, that he can achieve Barov Am even if each one reads... Oh, I see what he's saying. Wait a minute. What he's saying is that universally, Barov Am means one person does it for everybody. But possibly, with regard to Pirsum HaNes, oh, this reminds me, wait, Rabbi, let me just see, because I've been working on this over and over again, so if I have, I see a light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm not sure if it's a phantom light. I just want to give you an example. Do you remember the Rabbi Shita in Mahadrin in Ner Chanukah, that each person should light his own candle, even though Ner Ishu Beso is fine, but Mahadrin will have each one. So he's suggesting now that the reason we want each person to light their own candle is because of Pirsum HaNes. Do you follow me? That the active involvement of every goof, of every person, enhances and upgrades the Pirsum HaNes. Let's apply that to Megillah. And he's saying the following. That Megillah, if you want to achieve Barov Am Ajus Melech as a bezuner halacha, you know, not as a universal halacha. Universally, again, one person will have to recite for everyone. But if we're talking about Megillah, we're taking Barov Am, and we're, you know, with a vacuum cleaner, so to speak, we're sucking it into the law of Megillah, then it's Pirsum HaNes. And Pirsum HaNes means the more people that get involved, the better. So if you read the Megillah, that's one element of Pirsum HaNes. But if even I read the Megillah and he reads the Megillah, and if every person reads the Megillah, that enhances the Barov Am Ajus Melech of Megillah. I'll read it to you inside. He says the following: Mikol Makom Bahadin Kriya Barov Am Mishum Pirsumei Nisa Sagi shekol echad yikra b'fnei atzmo. So in other words, he's admitting, I think, between the lines, that as far as universal Barov Am Hajus Melech, one person should read it for everybody. But here, it's Sagi. Again, I don't know why he used the word Sagi, but I would leave out the word Sagi, but kol echad yikra b'fnei atzmo. So it works like this, that it could be, and this is kind of paradoxical, that according to the Brisker Rav, although to enhance the mitzvah and inject the kiyum of tzibur, we need that one person read the Megillah for everyone, but as far as Barov Am is concerned, it's fine if each person reads it for himself. Now you'll ask me the obvious question. Because which is more fundamental? The tzibur requirement of Asara or the Barov Am? Hello, anybody home? Which is more fundamental? I mean, nobody says that in order to achieve the mitzvah Megillah you need Barov Am. There are those who would say, like Ravasi or Rav, at least Lechatchila Tzorach Lachzer Achar Asara, that for the kiyum of Asara, you have to go ahead and actively, be proactive in finding the Asara. But as far as Barov Am, that's already an embellishment. So what are you telling me that for Barov Am I can achieve even if each one reads it by himself? The more korim, the better. My nafkamina. In order to get Asara, the Brisker Rav says you need one person reading it for everyone. Nafkamina bazeh. So I'll tell you what the Rav Moss says. This is based on an Orchas Chaim. He was one of the late Rishon. The Rav Moss says an unbelievable zach. It's revolutionary. He says that this entire din that the Mechaber codifies here, that you have to run around looking for Asara, that only applies in a case where there was no public reading of the Megillah in that city. Meaning, no Megillah reading by Asara has taken place. Let's go to the flip side. If, let's say, there was a Kriyas HaMegillah by Asara, but you're the Yachid who didn't hear that Megillah reading, then you don't have to actively try to get together Asara, because the city itself has already fulfilled its mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes by reading the Megillah publicly. And therefore, he says the following. This is the Ramah. That if... Okay, the Ramah says... Let's read the Ramah. Karu osa. They already read the Megillah b'tzibur. V'yeza yachid, one of the individuals, lo shama. Yachal likros afil l'chatchila b'yachid. Hoil v'kvar karu osa ha'ir b'asara. That's how the Ramah formulates it. That since in this city they've already achieved this mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah b'Asara, then the individual doesn't have to run around and get Asara l'chatchila, let him read it b'yachid. So it did in the ear. Again, you have to work very hard to understand this Ramah. But we're going to use it only for our purposes as an afkamina to this chakira. Says the Magen Avraham, Hatam, came under Kfar Nisparsem HaNes b'Asara. In that city, leka rak din de persume nisa mishum barov am hajus melech. So again, there are two dinim of pirsum hanes. There's one din of pirsum hanes b'asara. That's a chovas sivur, so to speak. It's a schim on the city itself. That's already been fulfilled. Then there's another requirement, another kiyum of pirsum hanes through barov am hajus melech, when you gather together asara. And he says the following: Lo matrichin le lemichnif asara lechatchila. He says we don't have to hassle the guy to make sure that when he reads the Megillah, he gets together 10 people, because the tzibur already was mekayim the din of asara. So what would be the reason? What would be the motivation to have him gather together another 9 people? It would only be for what? For the Rav Am Hajus Melech. Are you with me, Rabos? Again, as far as the kiyum of Pirsum HaNes B'Tzibur, the city has already had that. The Ramah says, then go read it b'yachid if you didn't hear the Megillah. Comes along the Magen Avraham, and he says the following: since the city was already Mekayim Pirsum HaNes of Asara, all we need now, the only Hava Mina that we would require this Yachid to gather together more people is only for the mitzvah of what? Berov hamajus melech is lomachachinin lay lemichnif asar.
Why would he say asar? We learned before by Abdullah, you know, harov am, it could be two.
Correct. That maybe this is maybe berov am, if there's ten, is a separate category. You know, like in Zimun, you know, you have different numbers, right? Well, then the Magen Avraham writes the following: Im nizdaminu lefanov. If by chance, you know, 10 people knocked on his door, or I don't know, he sent out a WhatsApp to his group and he said, by the way, I didn't hear the Megillah, you want to join me? And we're going to be serving Hamantashen or something. So then his Daming Lefanov is then Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar. It's better if he reads it in there. So it's, we're not going to be Matriachim, but he has a Kiyum of Barov Am. So now the question is going to be the following. What kind of kriya are we going to set up in this case? Should we have each one read it on his own? Or should one person read it for everyone? And the answer is, depends on this chakir that we had before. Maybe in the case of Barov HaMajus Melech, since it's generated by the special, unique mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes in the case of Megillah, therefore each person should read the Megillah on his own. If it would have been a universal din klali of Berov HaMajus Melech, then he should read it on behalf of everyone else, or not him, but anybody else who hasn't read it should read it on behalf of everybody else. Zechen Kori Lekula. That's your classical paradigmic example of Berov Am. But if we're saying now that we're not asking him to do a Berov Am in a universal sense, we're only asking him to do a Berov Am for this unique halacha pirsum hanes, then maybe the more people read it, the better it is. Or at least we can okay it. And then he says, k'mo chen, at the end of the paragraph, nafkamina b'chai gavna sha'ovru v'karu b'tzibu kalecha b'fnei atzmo. The question is, would he be mekayim the mitzvah of Barov HaMajus Melech if each person read the Megillah for himself? Again, they would have forfeited, according to Brisker Rav, the kiyum of Asar B'Tzibur, but at least can we attach a kiyum of Barov Am, if each one read it on his own? And the answer is that if the unique mechanics of Barov Am in the case of Megillah is Pirsum HaNes, which means that the more people they get involved, the better, then even though each one read the Megillah on his own, simultaneous with the rest of the Tzibur, and they forfeited the kiyum of Tzibur according to the Brisker Rav, but nevertheless they achieved the mitzvah of Barov HaMajus Melech. That's what I got out of it. Okay. Rabosai choice. We can go on to Siman Chav Beis, or we could try to finish Inyan Beis in the Hashkafic part of our discussion. Which one do you prefer? Pachad Yitzchak. Okay, do you have the photocopy? I made some photocopies here. So please hold on to page Reish Samach Tes for tomorrow, because a beautiful piece he has. The next piece is mamish stunning. And let's just review what we know about Inyan Beis. Okay then? I should have made a note for myself how far we got, but probably I'll remember as we go along. We're talking about the Hisnagdus. What is the nature and goal of our enemies? We're sort of like doing a phenomenological study of anti-Semitism, we'll call it. And he says the following. There are two major groups of anti-Semites. That's my own language, that's not his language. One is what he calls the Shiva Amamin, and the other is called the Dalid Malchios. And they're each interested in a very different agenda. In order to appreciate the different agendas here, we go back to basics. What does it mean for a Jew to be an Eved Hashem? And the answer is two things have to happen. Number one, we have to cast off from our shoulders the avdus and the subjugation to any other nation, and we have to accept, therefore, what we call Kabbalah Sol Machashmaim, that we are Avdei Hashem. And then number two, okay, fine, you're an Eved. So what? What do you do now? So that's called, in the language of Chazal, Kiblu Alai Malchusei, the Kiblu Alai Mitzvosai. There are two Kabbalahs. So it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is made up of two different elements. Number one, you have to be Makabal Malchus Shemayim, that God is your king, and you are his servant. And number two, you have to be Makabal is Gzeros. You have to know exactly what the king is telling you to do. So if I have a master, very nice, I'm your Eved, but tell me what's your Ratzon? That's called a Gili Ratzon. You have to indicate or reveal what you want me to do for you. Historically, there were two major events in the history or the emergence of the Jewish people. Number one, there was Yetzias Mitzrayim. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, Chazal say, we became Avadim. Why? Because until now, we were Avadim LaAvadim. Now we became Avadim Tashem, but we still don't know Tachlis what that means. I'm an Eved, but tell me what to do. And what's the second major event in Jewish history? Is Har Sinai. Then we become Kabbalah like Zerosai. Now we get the Ratzon Hashem, and now we know exactly what to do as an Eved. Says Rav Hutna, in terms of our adversaries, there are two groups or two categories of adversaries. One category is going to try to remove from us the status of an Eved, and the other is going to try to remove from us the ability to implement our Avdus and fulfill the will of God. The first group is what's called Dalid Malchios. Okay, there are four Malchios, and from the perspective of the Pakad Yitzchak, the word Malchios is a deliberate choice of words in Chazal, four Malchios. The point of these four Malchios, which are the four Golios, is to subjugate the Jewish people. Instead of Avadayhem, to make them into Avadim LaAvadim. In other words, in our language, you could say to be Mafkir L'Shev Eved. You're no longer Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch, you're our Avadim. The concept of Malchus means to subjugate the people. I as the king will legislate and mandate, and you have to follow my will. And that's a human being. That's called the Dalit Malchus, because those human beings want you to fulfill your Avdus to human beings and replace your and therefore replace your Avdus to Hashem. However, there's something called the Zion Amamim. The Zion Amamim, they don't want us to have a peace in the land. I don't mean peace, in political terms. I mean P-I-E-C-E, right? They don't want to give us a portion in the land. This is our land. Get out of here. You want to fulfill God's will? We mentioned last week the Ramban. The Ramban says that we fulfill the will of God where? In Eretz Yisrael. Everything that we do in Chutz Lartz is just preparation, it's practice. We're not going to let you do so. You want to be an Eved? You could be an Eved to Hashem, but not to fulfill your Avdus. Don't implement your Avdus, meaning Eretz Yisrael is ours. Every Eved has to have his space, his makom, his location. That's where he fulfills his avdus. Our location as the Jewish nation is Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to allow you to fulfill your avdus. We have no problem with you being an Eved. And therefore it's called Zion Amamin, says Bakhti. This is not Zion Malchios. This is not an interest Malchios. We're not interested in subjugating you and forcing you to accept our will. Just don't even dream about fulfilling the will of God, because Eretz Yisrael is a closed, hermetically sealed land. It's no entrance for Jews. Oh. Now, says the Pachad Yitzchak, we have a concept called Rashis. And we find the word Rashis with regard to two nations, with regard to Amalek and with regard to Mitzrayim. What does Rashis mean? Rashis means a program before a program, meaning It's an introductory stage to a program. Mitzrayim is the introductory stage to the four Malchios. The reason why it's not listed amongst the four Malchios, let's see if I remember the four Malchios, is Yavan, Paras, Madai, and Edom. Did I get that right? But Mitzrayim is not on the list, is because Mitzrayim comes to be Mafkir the Shem Eved before it's even Chal. You aren't even Avadim yet, and we're going to subjugate you and make you into Avdei Avadim rather than Avadim. So in a sense, Mitzrayim is the preempts the Dalet Malchus. It's even more fundamental. It's called Reishis because it's the introduction to this program of the Malchus. It's going to subjugate the Jewish people, and you no longer can be considered Avdei Hashem. And if you want to say it more meticulously, you'll never become Avdei Hashem because we're not going to let you go, and you're going to remain our Avod. The Dalet Malchus come after we become Avodim, meaning after Yitzis Mitzrayim and our Shem Eved emerges, because Avodahim v'lo Avodim l'Avodim, and they're going to reverse that process. And they're going to try to be Mafkia the Shem Eved and constantly subjugate the Jewish people, and we become subservient to those four Malchus. Amalek represents the Reishis of the Zion Amamin. Why is it a Reishis? It's before the Zion Amamin. The Zion Amamin come after we become Avodim. The Amalek is going to attack us even before we become Avodim. Let me say it a little better. What I mean to say is that the Zion Amamin come after Kabbalah Satorah. So we've already passed the second stage. Not only are we Avodim, that was clinched when? With Yitzias Mitzrayim, we became Avodim. And now with Har Sinai, we know exactly how to implement that Avdus. Between those two major events comes Amalek. After we leave Mitzrayim, we're already Avodim. We're anticipating, hopefully 7 weeks later, to realize what is Kabbalah Alai Mitzvosai, Kabbalah's Mitzvahs. Comes along Amalek and says, we're not going to let you get to that stage. You'll never get to the Mitzvah stage. We're going to destroy you before you get to Har Sinai. And that's the difference between Amalek and the Zion Amamin. The Zion Amamin are going to say, okay, go to Har Sinai, and we come into the picture much later on. After Har Sinai, we'll wait another 40 years, or how long as it takes, now you're going to march into the land, and you want to implement the Gzeiros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mitzvah Tlis Baretz, and so on. No entry. But the Reishis, the precursor, that's even more fundamental, is going to be Amalek. Amalek is going to prevent us from reaching Har Sinai. So that's what I think we accomplished until now. Now let's take a look at Os Gimel, which you'll find on page Lamed Hei. He says the following. It's interesting that in Tanakh, in Sefer Daniel, today's Golus is called Golus Romani. Now that's a very strange phenomenon, because the Torah describes our situation in Golus today as Zev Echad Ben Shivim, I'm sorry, Kivza Achas Ben Shivim Ze'evim. This is a Medrash Rabbah in Esther. Kivsa Achas Ben Shivim Ze'evim. Now those Shivim Ze'evim, this is not a coincidence that the number 70 represent what? All the nations of the world. Now, why should we call it Golus Edom when in fact it's all the nations of the world? So how did that all happen? So he says the following. Golus Romi is the Hascholas HaGolus. Why? Because Romi destroys the Beis HaMikdash, and that sets into motion a process of Golinu Me'artzenu. What happens is that after we are exiled by the Romans, we, the Jewish people, are spread throughout the four corners of the earth, hence the Shivim Ze'evim. Okay, so the Haschala, meaning the roots and the seeds that were planted by that original Golus, which are planted by Romi, they take root all over the world with Shivim Ze'evim, and now it's no longer Romi itself, but we're going to call it under the name of Golus Romi, because that was the original cause of Golus, but we were sent into Shivim Ze'evim. But in truth, Golus Romi is really a name that's appropriate only for Ascholas HaGolus. And here he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says, I'll tell you where the Ramban is, because in the back he tells you where it is. It's the Ramban in Breishis, Perek Yudalad, the first Ramban in Perek Yudalad of Breishis. And The Ramban says the following. Chazal say that Gam Arba Malachim Halol, when Avram Avinu is out in battle against the four kings, Chazal tell us that those four kings represent, or symbolically represent, the four Malchias that are going to be Meshabed Es Yisrael down the line. And again, Meshabed means to remove our status as Avodim Tashem. Now, the Torah delineates the names of the four Malachim, the four Malachim that battle against Avram and represent the four Malchias. The last of the four names is Tidal, and the Torah describes him as Tidal Melech Goyim, which sounds like he's sort of like a general, an all-inclusive Melech Goyim. Chazal say that Melech Goyim is again a reference to Edom, and Edom, as we said, is Ascholas HaGolios. Okay, so again, so why this emphasis on Tidal Melech Goyim, which the Torah emphasized that he's the Melech of all the Goyim, so to speak, where he's the last of the four Malachim, which represents the last of the four Goliaths, which is what? Edom. So Tidal Melech Goyim represents Edom. And he says, the Ramban points out that the Goyim, the word Goyim is in plural, because now Melech Edom is going to exile the Jewish people amongst all the Goyim, amongst all the nations. So that's Tidal Melech Goyim. He's the last of the four Malchios. That means Melech Edom. And that's going to cause the Jewish people to be subject in Golus to the 70 nations of the world. That's called Melech Goyim. And now Chazal add a word which is on the bottom of Lamed Hey, if you're following in the text. And Chazal say the following, that Edom koseves trunya li'umas ha'olam, which means that Edom spouts anti-Semitism throughout all the kingdoms in the world. And their malchus really controls the entire world. And insofar as the world is under their domination, then they can spread anti-Semitism and hatred against the Jew, which is called in Lashon Kodesh, Tironya. Well, actually, it's probably an Aramaic word, but anyway, Tironya amongst the nations. Now, at this point, once they spread Tironya amongst the nations, then the Hisnagdus to Klal Yisrael is no longer limited to one area, to one location. And rather it spreads throughout the entire world. Hisnagduso hi eres hasata. Right, this is the toxic words of anti-Semitism, Shemis Pashet Lemerchak al Kola Amin. Kosev Trunyul Chol Umos Lahachnis Bekirmam Sama Demosa Shal Nigudli Yisrael. In other words, this is going to penetrate into the hearts of all the nations, and now they have a deadly hate to destroy the Jewish people. Mitziyuta Sata Shal Amelech Hazeh Gidolahi Ad Kedekach Shashem Torah Shalom Becheshman Amalachis U Melech Goyim. This Hasata. How do you translate asot into English? It's such a common word in the Hebrew language. What's it called?
Incitement.
Well, this incitement of the king is so powerful that this is called Melech Goyim. He really, in terms of incitement, is the king of all the nations. Malchus Asina Shalo, his expression of hatred against the Jewish people, Mispashetes, Me'evel Gvulas Ha'amim, it goes through all, crosses all boundaries and all borders. And therefore our Golus is called the Golus Romi, in the sense that the hatred against the Jew spreads from Rome to all the nations that are under his dominion, and ultimately to all Shivim Zkenim, and therefore Golus Romi and Golus Edom are one and the same, and that's the Hasata, the incitement against the Jewish people. when in history does this hasata become a very powerful force? And he says the following: Hascholas hatronya hoisa bizman malchus poras. In other words, the seeds were sown even before Golus Romi, at the time of Poras. And who was the one individual who at the time of Malchus Poras was responsible for sending out this hasata? Anybody?
Haman,
excellent. It was Haman. And Chazal tell us that when Haman said about the Jewish people, whatever he said about them, all this is the Divrei Hasata, to incite the hatred against the Jewish people. That was the Tronya. That was the time of Paras. Kol Megillas Esther Bnuyahi al Tronya Shalamolek Sheshalach Lachashverosh. Sharei Bimei Moshe Ubimei Anaviim Bo Amolek VeAtzmo Li Lochem Im Yisrael VeRak Eitzal Lachashverosh. Matzino Rishona, for the first time in history, Amalek is not just as an individual nation, as a solo effort, attacking the Jewish people and battling against them to defeat them. But now, for the first time in history, at the time of Achashverosh, Amalek has a much broader agenda. They want to get the nations of the world involved in that hatred. And this is where Golus Edom is upgraded, is jacked up to the highest and most intense level of all the Golios because of the Shivim Ze'evim. But the beginning of that starts with Amalek at the time of Achashverosh. He's the Mesis Umedia. He's the one who injects into Paras the Terunya. And therefore, this partnership, if you will, between Haman and Achashverosh is the most powerful and the most toxic kind of anti-Semitism at all. Because now the hatred against the Jew becomes deeper and more profound. Hagolus holeches u'misamekes. Until the point that we get to Edom, and by that point, Edom just has to take all that trunya, all that toxic anti-Semitism, and spread it around the world. So the stage has been set. And this is what's called Reishis Goyim Amolek, Vachriso Adead. And we're up to number hey here if you're looking. He says, Afal Pishagam Mitzrayim Vagam Amolekim Bechinas Reishis. Nevertheless, there's a major difference between the two of them, between Mitzrayim and Amolek. The Reishis of Mitzrayim ended and it terminated with the Kriya, you know, with Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Mitzrayim went down to the bottom of the sea. But with regard to Amolek, their Reishis, their agenda against the Jewish people continues to exist throughout history. Shani Bechinas Reishis Amolek. He says, even though Reishis means that Amolek came before the Shiva Amimim, but nevertheless, he shows up at the last as the last of the Arba Malchus, the Malchus which kicks off all the Shivim Ze'evim of our Golus. So the Bechina of Reishis now of Amolek takes on a whole new category, and the only way that we're going to have to undo, that there's a possibility of undoing the racious of Amalek now, is with Achris. That's called in the Lashon HaTorah the Achriso Avei Adei Oved at the end of Devarim, which means that Bachriso, when this extension of Tidal Melech Goyim, who's sending out the Terunya to all the nations, is going to be defeated for once and for all. And when the Gemara tells us in Chulin, Esther ben Ator Minayin, Anochi Aster, why the double language Aster, says the Maral, this is an indication of two people, of Achashverosh and of Haman. The Iker here of Halastorah is the Gzera of Haman, of Lahashmin al-Har Galiabit. So why are we emphasizing Achashverosh here? And the answer is because Achashverosh is going to be the one who's responsible for spreading the Hasata throughout the nations of the world. Haim b'gzeirosav nitztarfu rishona shnei sugi esnagdus l'Yisrael. Hisnagdus ha-malchius v'hisnagdus ha-amamin. Achashverosh represents the Malchus of Paras and Madai. That's the Hisnagdus of being mafkia the Shem Eved, and the snagdus of the Amamin, which is represented here by a Molech, as the Rashis means, to prevent the Jewish people from implementing the Ratzon of Hashem. And therefore we have a Haster Aster here. We have a Hashverosh and we have Haman, each representing a different kind of agenda against the Jewish people. And therefore, we can begin to understand and answer the question that we started with. Why is it that the Torah uses two languages? It says hipil pur. The word pur is a Persian word. Hu ha-goral. Goral is a Hebrew word. And he says the following, this is in number ches, we're trying to finish it up before mincha, which is fast and approaching. He says, ha-oket shalom ha-or vazeh haman ha-maleki Asakan Goral Parsi. Here's the overlap between Haman as an Amaleki and Achashverosh as a Parsi with the Goral. Because the Goral is the beginning of the ability of Amalek to send out Terunya against the Jewish people, because now the day is going to fall and that day is going to be the day in which we're going to spread the Terunya throughout all the nations of the world, and this is going to be the end of the Jewish people. This is the most profound goalist of all the goalists. And he finishes up here in number Tess by saying that in the Torah itself we only speak about Simcha, about Mishta. On Purim we have both Simcha and Mishta, a combination thereof. Why Simcha? Mishameshes dechifa legilui. Simcha always requires that we express ourselves, and Yayin is the Mishta, is Motzi Sod. So in other words, against the Hester and the double Hester that we said, which represents the two tracks of the anti-Semitism, two agendas, we have the Avodah of today of Purim, and that's going to be Gilui, Al Gabe Gilui. It's going to be the Gilui of Simcha and the Gilui of Mishnah. So if you get a chance to go over this, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal piece.